Good morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather for worship this morning. We will be following Divine Service Setting 3 on page 184, and our opening hymn will coincide with our noisy offering collection. And that is the collection we take to help sponsor children to Camp Luther, and I do know of at least four members who were at Camp Luther this past week, so very appreciated, and it's wonderful to see those opportunities to see children growing in their faith. This morning, we continue our broadcasting of service on the radio, and we thank those that have sponsored that, and also we have those that are tuning in on YouTube, and so we look forward to worshiping with all that are able to be together here, but also remembering that not always are we able to be in the sanctuary, but we certainly appreciate being in God's Word together. I invite you at this time to join with me in singing our opening hymn, 903. Stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsively the introit. I call to God, and he hears my voice.
He redeems my soul in his safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord.
And he will sustain you.
Give ear to my prayer, O God.
And hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
My heart is in anguish within me.
The terrors of death have fallen upon me.
Fear and trembling come upon me.
And horror overwhelms me.
But I call to God.
And the Lord will save me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I call to God, and he hears my voice.
He redeems my soul in safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord,
and he will sustain you. God, you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 11.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please join me in reading the gradual? Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But the congregation, please stand as we join for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to him, It is written, My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. This time we speak together the Nicene Creed and confess our shared Christian faith.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present to come forward for a children's message at this time. Good morning. I'm glad that you are here today. We heard a couple lessons that talk about God's house. You guys have a house you live in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do when you are at your house? Okay, school, learning about Jesus. Do you guys sleep at your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you have some meals out in your house. Yeah. And there's things that you do at your house because that's what you do in your house, right? Yeah. Now, is God's house just like your house?
Yeah.
Do we come here so that we can sleep? Maybe some of the people out there, but are we supposed to come here to church so that we can take a nap? No, this isn't where we come for naps, is it? Or is this where we come because we're hungry? No, right? When we come to God's house, there are certain things that we do in God's house, right? Yeah. And Jesus says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Right? Is this the only place we can pray? No. But when we're here, should we treat God's house different than our house? Yeah. Should we have good respect for God's house? Yeah. And we gather together and we have a place where we want to hear God's word so that we can be in God's house and we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we pray to Him, not only here, but other places. And so when we're in God's house, it might look like a really good place. How many of you, like my son, have some Nerf guns? Do you have any of those? Wouldn't this be a great place to have a Nerf gun war? But what do you think moms and dads would think about that? Is that appropriate? No, not in this place. It might be a really good, and we might think about it being fun, but is that what God's house is about?
No.
We're here to worship, aren't we? We're here to sing, and we're here to pray, and we're here to be in God's word. And so I'm glad you're here in God's house, and I'm glad that you're treating it with honor and respect, because it is God's house. And we always want to remember that when we are in God's house, wherever and whichever of his houses we may be in. Because he's got a lot, doesn't he? He does. So let us pray. We'll pray an echo prayer with our congregation. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you invite us to your home. We thank you that you invite us to your home where we can speak to you, where we can speak to you, and to know your love for us, and to know your love for us. Help me always honor your house. Help me always honor your house, and look forward to inviting others to join me in it. And look forward to inviting others to join me in it. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning. I do have, sometimes when we go to people's houses, they give us treats, right? Yeah, and so I do have a treat for you this day. Our congregation is going to continue and sing at this time, hymn 807. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning our sermon is based upon our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Today, we can see just how true these words that Paul inscribed to his letter to the Romans are as we study the inspired and inerrant word of God that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. There is depth, there is riches. There's wisdom that you and I sometimes are unable to see. Because God in his majesty sees what you and I cannot. Paul, during his second missionary journey, began and brought to Corinth the gospel message. And there a church was established. And just like this congregation, they had some issues and disagreements. Some maybe more, some maybe lesser than others. Paul, though, is seeking to give guidance and lead to a solution that will benefit the church and its purpose. So what is the issue that Paul is speaking to? Paul identifies spiritual gifts as the source of the problem. And the problem connected to spiritual gifts is the first sin and those that follow. There's something that somebody else has, and I want it. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and ate. They saw what God had, and they desired it for themselves. The tree was to be desired to make one wise. The sin of covetousness didn't die with them. They are just the start. And the next chapter of Genesis shows us that sin is inheritance. As Adam and Eve, so their children suffered from it. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." God had judged between the offerings of the two. It did not reach the same conclusion for them both. They aren't treated equally, and one not receiving the regard of the Lord is not paid attention to. Some might say, it's not fair that God paid attention to him and not to me. He now has something that I don't. And so we can see where some covet what others have. But that that's only just one end of the spectrum when it comes to covetousness. He has it. I want it. So make him give it to me. But the other end of the spectrum of sinfulness may look more like, I have it and I know that you don't, so that makes me better than you. You are lesser. I'm Dad's favorite. Just look at this coat and all the colors that it has and the attention that I get because of it. Both ends of the spectrum are problematic for the church. If we look at others and say, you have what I want, you should be giving it to me, or if we say, well, I have something that you don't have, so that makes me better than you, certainly it's problems. We're better than you because God has blessed us so much. That's not true. We both need Jesus. We are all sinful and all 100% need the Savior to open heaven to us. All of us need 100% of Jesus to be saved. Even a man in the pastoral office needs to confess sins when needed, pastor sin, and need to seek repentance also. So a pastor shouldn't be placed on a pedestal where it's believed that they can't sin. I doubt that's where I stand. But yet, some would say, how could a pastor do such a thing? Yes, they too are flesh and blood, tainted with sin, just as much as yours is. Divisions in the church, because there are those that have and those that do not have, do not further the gospel. Outside the church, in pagan worship, Paul is speaking that some might have been convinced that the mute, deaf, blind, dumb idol actually has given to them some extraordinary spiritual powers. And whatever they may have received from an idol, it wasn't actually strength. It was captivity, you might say, to demons and their fate of execution. So Paul warns us, you followed at one time those idols and you followed them wrongly, not to where you wanted to go. But here in the church, it is different. For those in the church, first and foremost, recognize these truths about your brothers and sisters in Christ. No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. Those that have the Holy Spirit residing in them cannot be made to curse Jesus. Rather, we praise his name. And that's one way of saying how we are together in our Savior. But rather than looking at what is negative, cursing, we can put the positive light, as Paul says, to the Philippians. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in today's reading, he shortens that up and simply says that no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Christians, we praise the name of our Savior, and this happens only by the power of the Holy Spirit, as Luther teaches us. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. If they curse Jesus, they don't have the Holy Spirit. But if they do claim him as Lord, they have that Holy Spirit. And those that have the Holy Spirit living in them are believers, brothers and sisters of Christ, our Lord and Savior, heirs of the one salvation that Jesus won for all when he died upon the cross. The Holy Spirit lives in you. But, well, the life he lives in you is able to be different from the life that he lives in the one next to you. Yes, you both have received the gift of eternal life from God our Heavenly Father. But other experiences may vary and may or may not include utterances of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, works of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who appoints to each individually as he wills. Please consult your spiritual physician if any or all of these symptoms begin to present and persist in your life. Right? Experiences vary because you and I are each individually made by God, our Heavenly Father. We're not all guaranteed the same gifts from him. But that does not make some of us greater than the rest of us. We all are saved because of our Savior. And no, it's not a bad thing when the Spirit gives you a gift, but it does not make you better than someone who doesn't receive spiritual gifts like speaking in tongues. We all are gifted with abilities. We are all called to use and put into service to God these gifts he has given us by helping and serving our neighbor. May Jesus Christ be praised. We heard and we know from the Bible, yes, Joseph was the favored son. He received that coat of many colors. His brothers decided to get rid of him, and yet Joseph ends up saving his family because he was in high official in Egypt. God had placed him there for the good of his family. He wasn't better than them just to be better, but to use his position. Esther, likewise, when we read the book of Esther, helps to save the people of Israel because she is queen, exalted and lifted up to that position for that time. Jesus, though, he endured humiliation. He became less than he was, limited in his powers and might, so much so that he died on the cross, so that all who believe in him, who call him Lord, might live in and through him. In the church, God does daily and richly bless us. We have received gifts from him, gifts that come from God. And these we are called to use in our lives to help serve him. And serving him occurs when you use your gifts as conduits of God's love to your neighbor. When you do with your time, should allow others to see the love of God in what you do. What you do with the possessions that God has given you should reflect good stewardship to those items that God has given to bless you in your various vocations. Once again, allowing God's love to be shown in and through you. It's hard in our society to be content, to not see what others have and to not covet. But yet, we are all children of God, working towards one goal, making disciples of all nations. Yes, Jesus has blessed you with gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Share these wonderful gifts that you have received with others. They won't run out. God provides abundantly. We are all his children. We are all looking forward to that day in heaven with Jesus Christ, the one name that is above all others. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we continue with the singing of the offertory. Should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others.
Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, we give thanks for Christ Jesus, in whom we receive the things that make for peace. Keep up trusting in him and eagerly expecting his final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you execute justice for the oppressed and uphold the poor in mercy. Cause your spirit to dwell in your church, that we may not lie about our sins and defile your temple, but follow your ways by caring for the sojourners, the fatherless, and the widow, defending the blood of the innocent and turning from all other gods. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Almighty God, you reject the wisdom of this world and the foolishness of our sinful minds. Turn us away from the lies of sinful men, and by your word, return us to your truth, where we find everlasting peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Bring about your good and gracious will, O Lord. Bless those to whom you have given authority in our government to break and hinder the plans of the wicked and encourage whatever is righteous and good. Lord, in your mercy, deliver your servants from every evil of body and soul. Provide for those in need and grant endurance to the afflicted, including your dear children, Rick, Glenn, Tracy, Linda, Doug, and the family and friends of Leon. Restore them to health speedily according to your will. Keep us together in the ark of your church until your final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy things that make for peace. The cross of your Son, his resurrection from the dead, your blessed word of forgiveness, the washing in your holy name, and the feast of our Savior's body and blood. Grant us your peace through these means of grace, that we may be your people and dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, because you love to show mercy, hear the prayers we offer for your ancient people that acknowledge Jesus Christ, the light of truth, that may be delivered from darkness through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance. Of majesty co-equal, therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Please stand as you are able. The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace.